The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, someone skin. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, our gospel reading comes from the same place. It comes from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 17. It's the very end of the Last Supper. It's where we are in the life of Jesus. Right after this, Jesus is going to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to begin his passion and death. And what you hear is the longest prayer Jesus ever prays. That's what you're hearing yesterday, today, and tomorrow in the gospel. Now, sometimes this prayer is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Why is it called the high priestly prayer of Jesus? Well, it's because in the days of the Old Testament and in the life of our Lord, the high priest of Judaism would offer a prayer once a year, on the feast of Yom Kippur, which is the day of forgiveness, the day of atonement. He would offer it in the temple, and it'd be for three things that prayer would be. It would be for the priest himself, it would be for all of his disciples, and it would be for all of the people. Okay, so here in the gospel, the day before Good Friday, which is the real day of forgiveness, isn't it? Here's Jesus, the real high priest of God, and he's offering this prayer, and it's for three intentions. Yesterday, he prayed for himself. Tomorrow, he prays for all the people. And in the gospel reading, what you hear today is he prays for his disciples. That means you and me. And the last thing Jesus ever prayed for before he began his passion and death for all of his disciples would be they would be consecrated, especially consecrated in the truth. So let's take a closer look at what that means. What's it mean to be consecrated? Kind of interesting. The Greek word is it's hagiastho, and literally it means to be made holy, or to holyify, or to holyize. Holyize them, Jesus says, in the truth. And that means let them be set apart. That's what the word holy means. Ever wonder what the word holy means? Go out and be holy, holy like God is holy. What's holy mean? Holy means set apart. Let me give you a few examples to help make it clear. The church building, if it's been built properly, it's a building that's set apart. It doesn't look like any other building in all the world. You could never repurpose a church building. You couldn't use it as a bank. You couldn't use it as a library. You couldn't use it as a drive-through fast food outlet. It's obviously set apart. It's different from anything else in the world, right? And why? Because it reminds you of God. That's why it's set apart. That's what makes it holy. The chalice sitting right here on the altar. Now, that's set apart. How scandalized would you be if I took that home and I used it to drink my morning coffee? You'd say, wait a minute, that isn't right. I'd say, why isn't it right? It's just a cup. You'd say, no, it's not just a cup. It's set apart, right? It's meant for something different. And why? To remind you of God. Sacred music should be something set apart. It shouldn't sound like entertainment, shouldn't sound like top 40, shouldn't sound like jazz. It's different. It's set apart. Why? To remind you of God. Priests and religious sisters and nuns and brothers are set apart. They don't dress like everybody else. Here's hoping they don't act like everybody else. And why? To remind you of God. That's what it means to be set apart. Now, what happens when something that's set apart for God is used as something common and ordinary? Oh, something really, really great and valuable is lost. And it's very, very sad. Tell you a little story. I was in a restaurant once. And it was so clear that the menus for the restaurant used to be stations of the cross that were used in a church. They took the sacred images and they painted them over, hung them around the restaurant, and one of them was a salad menu, and one of them was a dessert menu, and one of them was a drink menu, and one of them was a steak menu. And it was so obvious they were meant to be stations of the cross. It was so sad. That's what happens when something that's consecrated, set apart, goes back to being used for ordinary things. But it's nothing like anywhere near as sad as when someone who's been set apart by Jesus Christ and consecrated acts like everyone else in the world. That's our challenge, to truly be consecrated in the truth. I'm telling you, once you see the truth, you can't ignore it. You can't ever go back. It consumes you. It owns you. I knew a lady once. Somebody asked her, "Do you have children?" Lady said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't have children. Children have me." In other words, it's all-consuming. You could say the same thing about having a parish. "Hey, you're a priest. Do you have a parish?" "Heck no. A parish has me. It's all I ever do," right? Truth is like that. Once you see it, you can't go back. And Jesus says he wants you to be consecrated in the truth. What? For the well-being of the world. Now, this is your challenge and mine. And it means we have to witness to it. There's so many things these days, and they're so patently, obviously true, and nobody's witnessing to them. And you and I, in our own quiet way, and we'll go about our ordinary life, have to witness to it. Things like, you know, the difference between a man and a woman. And isn't there everybody who, since the age of preschool, knows the difference between a boy and a girl? And suddenly it's debatable. You don't have to wave a banner or stand on a street corner, but you witness to it, right? Or the nature of matrimony, same thing. Or the sacredness of human life, or 100 other things that our Lord not only has revealed to us in natural law, but through the gospel and the teaching of the church and the lived example of the saints. Once you see the truth, you can't go back. Our Lord wants us to witness to it. That's what's going to make us set apart. That's what's going to make us different. It was the last thing he prayed for before he entered into his passion and his death, that we should be holy. The number one identifier of God in relation to the world is his holiness. You see it in the book of Daniel. You see it in the book of Isaiah. You see it in the book of Ezekiel. You see it in the book of Revelation. What do we say at Mass? We say, we quote the scripture. We say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You never say any other quality about God three times like that. You never say love, love, love. You never say forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You never say mercy, mercy, mercy. God's identity is difference, and he asks the same thing of us. Let's, you and I, pray to be faithful to what he's called us to be, this high and lofty vocation, to be in the world, but never to be of the world.